I'm proud to be a Jew, but that's way too Jewish for me.
Shalom, and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning on Two Jewish is Joe Levin, the co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, an expert on hate groups and anti-Semitism, white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the Klan, and the work to monitor and defeat them in the wake of the Charlottesville violence. We'll also have visits from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, our Two Jewish Maven on Israel, Oshrat Barel, and our Maven on Jewish education, John Ben Asher. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Two Jewish.
Shalom. This has been a very troubling week in our country and a very weird week for me personally as well. Last week, as you faithful listeners of Two Jewish know, I talked here and in my synagogue, Temple Emmanuel, in Tucson, Arizona, where I live, about the amazing experience and privilege of meeting the Dalai Lama in northern India in July, about a month ago, and what an affirmation it was of our common humanity. It was an extraordinary, direct experience of religious tolerance, warmth, and human compassion, and speaking about it, of course, reminded me of the experience itself. And then last weekend, the violent white supremacist riot took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the President of the United States was unable to respond forthrightly against neo-Nazis, racists, and virulent anti-Semites. That story took control of the 24-hour-a-day news cycle, fueled by the President's further comments, reinforcing his initial ones a couple of days later. When President Trump doubled down and said there were very fine people marching with the lowlifes, chanting "Jews will not replace us," wearing swastikas, waving Nazi flags and tiki torches, I stared in horror, like most Americans. The contrast, the cognitive dissonance for me between these two experiences was a little too much. It remains true that all of us are the same underneath, human, mortal, in need of comfort and understanding. As the Dalai Lama said, we are each one of us, just one of 7 billion human beings on this planet, sharing the earth, seeking the very same things. But it's also apparently and simultaneously true that the very worst aspects of our character can be put on vivid display. That insane hatred and acts of terror, including deliberately driving an automobile into a crowd of Americans, were perpetrated last weekend here. And that ideas and attitudes like vicious racism and virulent anti-Semitism and Nazi ideology that have been unacceptable to publicly voice in America for decades apparently don't merit the forthright condemnation of the President of the United States anymore. I must add one point that not everybody sees in all of this. The so-called Unite the Right riot was not just racist and not simply about playing up the fears and hatred of those white people in America who believe their privileges have somehow been infringed upon and they are discriminated against. If it was just that, it should have been called Unite the Whites, and it surely did not do that. It was also pro-Nazi and included tributes to Adolf Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and chants of blood and soil, a German National Socialist slogan of the enemies who fought against America in the Second World War and who were responsible for the deaths of tens of millions of people. I wrote a note to my congregation early last week and said, among other things, the acts of violence and rioting perpetrated by un-American thugs should remind every Jew and every responsible adult of the long, brutal history of death and destruction caused here and around the world by Nazis and neo-Nazis, by the Ku Klux Klan, by white supremacists, by other racists. It is no surprise these cowards marched under the banners of the Nazis, who were the greatest enemies of the United States of America, and of the Klan, who hid under bedsheets to murder fellow American citizens. It is also no surprise they shouted anti-Jewish slogans, for we Jews have always represented the values that make America truly great. This violent gathering was deeply anti-Semitic. It demonized Jews in ways medieval and disgusting. Everyone of conscience has condemned it in the strongest possible terms, and, if anything, strengthened that condemnation over the week plus since it happened. Both of my state's Republican senators, Arizona's John McCain and Jeff Flake, saw this event for what it was, immediately and strongly condemned it, as did nearly everyone in leadership of government in both parties. Everyone, that is, except the person with the largest public voice in the world, the President of the United States. I cannot fathom how a man with Orthodox Jewish grandchildren, who supposedly relies heavily on advice from his Jewish daughter and son-in-law, can fail to see that neo-Nazis are evil, that anyone who marches with the KKK is condemning him or herself morally by that public choice. It is stunning to see Jewish members high up in this administration stand silently next to the president while he creates false, divisive, and destructive equivalencies between white supremacists and those who oppose them and their evil ideas. There is one note of hope that I can personally add. In 1992, as many of you know, I was the student rabbi in Billings, Montana, when a Klan group emerged and attacked the homes of two Jewish members of my congregation who had decorated their homes with Hanukkah menorahs. The response of the Christian community and the general community in Billings, Montana was incredible. Everybody put up paper replica Hanukkah menorahs in their windows. A billboard went up saying, "No hate in our town." The Human Rights Commission galvanized a year of interfaith celebrations. I did so many of them that brought together the city in fantastic ways. That is, hatred was turned into understanding, into respect, and even love. That possibility exists in this situation now, but it will take real leadership to make it happen, to reject the hatred and prove that it is still wrong in America to try to take us back to the rhetoric and violent acts of white supremacists. And it will take real leadership to bring us together in understanding and respect and compassion. That leadership will not come from this White House. But the greatness of America is that it can and should come from all of us. And the time to start it is obviously right now. To play us in this morning, here's an a cappella setting of the passage from the Talmud, Laman Achai V'Re'ai, "For the sake of my brothers and friends, I say peace to you," sung by the Maccabees and Shalshelis.
Laman, Laman, Laman Achai, Achai V'Re'ai, Achai V'Re'ai, Adabra, Adabra, Na. Achai V'Re'ai, Achai V'Re'ai,
That was Laman Achai V'Re'ai. Because of my brothers and friends, I say peace to you. A great message and much needed now, especially. Our guest this morning, Attorney Joseph Levin, was co-founder with Morris Deese of the extraordinary Southern Poverty Law Center, which has done so much to counter hate groups, the Klan, and white supremacists in America over more than 40 years. We'll discuss white supremacist hate groups today and what the events in Charlottesville last weekend tell us about them when we return in a moment here on Too Jewish.
Are you curious? Well, now we have everything you wanted to know about Judaism, but we're afraid to ask. Temple Emmanuel's famous Taste of Judaism program, now in its 18th year, offers an exploration of Judaism in 3 2-hour sessions on Jewish spirituality, values, and community, taught by our rabbis. This free introductory class is immensely popular in Southern Arizona. 6,000 students have enjoyed Taste to date, and you can too. Call 327-4501 for more information and register today. Taste of Judaism is an exciting opportunity to learn more about Jewish culture, history, rituals, and practice. Rediscover your roots or simply satisfy your curiosity about Judaism. Classes are free and open to all, and we feed you too. We have daytime and evening classes in Central and Northwest Tucson, and this year also in Green Valley. Taste of Judaism starts soon, so don't miss it. Again, it's free with no fees or obligations, but space is limited and pre-registration is required. Call Temple Emmanuel at 327-4501 or email temple@tetucson.org. Call 520-327-4501 for a fun way to learn about Judaism.
We welcome John Ben Asher, head of school for Tucson Hebrew Academy. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rabbi Kohan.
Tell us about THA.
THA is an incredible school, rich community, strong educational culture. We're a K-8 program and Tucson's only Jewish day school.
With small classes, really a tremendous level of individual attention.
Absolutely. Our engaging, talented faculty ensure a rigorous, interactive, supporting learning environment for kids.
And those kids go on to succeed academically. This isn't just about Jewish identity.
THA graduates go on to Tucson's best high schools, and they are exceptionally well prepared.
And I've seen some of them go to Ivy League schools, some of the best colleges in the country too, if that's important for parents, which I believe it is.
That's right. THA really paves the way for students. A rich, strong academic foundation, as well as Jewish knowledge, learning, and culture.
And great community. How can people find out more about putting their kids in THA?
You can come visit or find us online, thaaz.org, and give us a call, 529-3888.
That's 529-3888, or visit www.thaaz.org. We are delighted to welcome the Two Jewish, our special guest this morning. Joe Levin is a co-founder, an attorney, and co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has done so much extraordinary work against hate groups, the Klan, and others all across America, particularly in the South. We are delighted. Good morning.
Good morning, Rabbi. Thank you.
Thanks for being on Too Jewish. The events in Charlottesville last weekend highlighted a whole bunch of elements in our society that we'd like to believe don't exist anymore, but clearly do. Tell us a little bit about what you saw.
Well, I saw what we've seen bubbling up now since toward the end of 2015, when Donald Trump began his presidential campaign. We've seen resurrection of extremist activity in a way that I thought I had seen the end of at the end of the, I guess, sometime around the year 2000. And it's been an extraordinary experience. Charlottesville was simply the most public and most well-covered episode that demonstrates where white supremacy is in the United States today and the president's reaction to it, I think, demonstrates why they feel licensed now to be so public in ways that, again, I thought I had seen the end of in the 1950s and 60s.
The Southern Poverty Law Center and your work have helped to significantly reduce, diminish, and frankly bankrupt elements like the Klan through lawsuits, through legal action. Are they coming back?
Yes, they are. We've seen an enormous growth in a huge jump in hate groups, really, from 2015 to 2016. There's been a big jump in the numbers. You could go onto our website and check it all out and get some of the detail. But we saw a rise, for example, of hate groups operating in this country from in 2016, from 892 in 2015 to 917 last year. That's only about 100 fewer than we saw in 2011 when we had our highest count ever of 1,018. That was 30 years of SPLC count. So we've seen the rise, and we've seen, independent of the actual hate groups themselves that we identify, we've seen a huge jump because of the role that social media plays in getting these folks together. No longer have to actually have an organization in order to spur hatred.
Right. You don't have to have a meeting with Sheets. You can just do it online. We will talk much more with Joe Levin, co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, about the events in Charlottesville and about hate groups in America, white supremacist groups and others, when we come back in just a moment here on Too Jewish. You work hard every day, and that's why the Tucson Jay wants to celebrate you at their Labor Day Bash on September 4th from 11 to 3. Bring the family and save hundreds with their one-day membership sale, and the first 50 people get a free week of membership in the Jay. With more than 110 fitness classes weekly, early childhood education, after-school care, art and culture classes, when you join the Tucson Jay, you're joining more than just a gym. You're joining a community. So don't miss a chance to save hundreds at the Tucson Jay Labor Day Bash September 4th. If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or akvel, please email us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com. That's T-O-O Jewish Radio 18. Or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through our website, Two Jewish Radio, T-O-O Jewish Radio.com, streaming us from there or downloading us from the Apple iTunes Store as very popular podcast top 10 in America for Jewish podcasts, according to Moment Magazine. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
We have been exploring diplomatic immunity in the context of the Israeli security guard and then some of the staff of the embassy that got out of Amman, Jordan after the incident a couple of weeks ago. It is such a complicated issue.
It certainly is. And I don't know, actually, whether there was a full drawdown and a withdrawal of all Israeli personnel from Amman or only certain personnel. Usually, in the case of the U.S., we evacuate, when it's a matter of choice, what we call non-essential personnel, and we keep a skeleton staff to both protect and operate the embassy and to continue to offer protective services to our citizens who happen to be traveling or working or residing or retiring in country X. We rarely do a complete evacuation. I don't know what the Israelis have done in this case, but the Israeli security guard who was normally working in the Israeli embassy but was temporarily overseeing some repair work in the ambassador's residence.
Some residence, anyway. It's not totally
some
clear.
Some diplomat's residence? Right. Okay. So, I mean, there are a lot of reasons for that. One is to make sure that the local workman isn't installing any bugs,
right,
or cameras.
You know, it sounds so obvious, but that's probably exactly what could
right.
have been happening.
It's rarely the case that you think the workman is going to attack an occupant of the house,
right,
never mind the security guard. That's what happened in this case. And apparently when the Israeli security guard shot the guy in self-defense after being stabbed with a screwdriver several times. His aim was off because he'd just been stabbed, and he also got the landlord, yeah, the owner of the building where the repair was being done. So even though he's a security guard, diplomatic immunity does apply, and he couldn't be prosecuted, but he is subject to sort of the sentiments of the mob. So the Jordanian government probably did the Israelis a favor by saying, hey, you better get this guy out of here and we'll help facilitate that, or we'll provide safe passage or whatever. This doesn't sound like the security guard or any member of the Israeli embassy was what we call PNG'd, which is an acronym from three Latin words, persona non grata, which means a person who is not welcome. American diplomats have turned that into a verb, to PNG someone, which means to declare that a particular person, or in the recent case of the Russian Federation ordering a drawdown of American staff on Russian soil, a group of people can be PNG'd. You could PNG a whole embassy if you want, which means basically expel them, declare that they are no longer welcome there as diplomats, that the agreement to have them there as diplomats, which is a formal response to a diplomatic note, has been withdrawn, and they have X number of days, or in some cases, X number of hours to leave the country. We do this all the time with people who are engaged in egregious acts of intelligence or acts against our national interests. And other countries clearly do this to us, although the recent expulsion of all those Americans from Moscow and St. Petersburg had nothing to do with their actions, but had rather to do with the actions of Congress. So, yeah, the informal verb to PNG someone, to declare them persona non grata,
right,
is an important thing because diplomatic immunity has its limits. In other words, you can always be declared an unwelcome person and given a certain amount of time to leave. What you can't have happened to you is being dragged off to jail or dragged into a local trial or anything like that.
Fascinating. Well, Tom, thanks for giving us, I'm sure, what is only the tip of the iceberg, but a much clearer idea of diplomatic immunity. We will talk next week.
I look forward to it.
We welcome Oshrat Barel, our Mivi on Israel, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov, Oshrat.
Boker Tov, Rabbi.
We have a really interesting group here that's teaching about Israel as part of the World Zionist Organization. It's an important part of Israel's kind of message to the world Jewish communities to teach at a high level to help people understand Israel better, but also understand Jewish issues. Explain what they're doing and how it works.
So the group that will be here next week, they are from the World Zionist Organization, and they have department that work in the North America. So it's important to Israel. From the very beginning, it was important to Israel, the relationship with Jews that lives outside of Israel. At the beginning, we tried to move all of them to Israel, and then early enough, we understand that we need them there.
All,
very
all
strong.
Brilliant Jews can't move to Israel.
Yeah,
some of them have
they
to
need
stay
to
and
stay all
work
over
in the
world,
world,
do great things, not just on the financial aspect. So in order to nurture this relationship that both sides are benefit from this, of course, as a mutual and real partnership, the World Zionist Organization send their professional to live like in the United States, and then really build and establish tools for educators in the Jewish communities to teach about Israel and to actually teach, I don't know if teach and explore Jewish identity with Israel at the heart or at the center or part of it. It's up to, you know, each of us to describe Israel as part of their Jewish identity. And this group are really, they developed all kind of different tools and games and lesson plans that allow each every age group to connect to Israel, if it's through games, as I mentioned, and if it's through a very sophisticated lecture that really talk about human rights in Israel, and it's an eye-opener. And as an Israeli, I'm telling you, it's an eye-opener. I was really surprised by the facts. So for Jews, it's really important to have the facts in order to... Sometimes those who are not highly connected to Israel and not on top of, you know, really know what's happening in Israel, it's easy to be biased by media. By having the facts, you can be involved in discussion. You can really... protect Israel when it's deserve it and not when it's not, but at least based on facts and not based of assumption or based of whatever.
Informed choice. Make those decisions based on really having some knowledge. And I know they're going to be able to talk about the Israeli Supreme Court, to talk about the what Jerusalem is like now 50 years after the Six-Day War. All of these sort of issues that are really important to understand and to understand at a deep level. It's a great message and a great, great mission, I should say. Thanks, Oshrat. We'll talk next week.
Toda rabai.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
Well, Carol, to be honest, now that I'm a little older, I can't get out as much as I'd like. I miss seeing people.
Why don't you come over to my place for lunch on us?
The food's delicious. So many choices. And I have a special table with my friends every day. They'd love to have you join us.
Is there much to do there?
There are lots of activities every day. Mondays is Mahjong. Tuesdays, I do yoga. Wednesdays, we go shopping or to the museum or a restaurant. Thursdays, my exercise class. There are book groups, speakers, Shabbos services, concerts, a game room. I'm busier than ever.
Where do you live?
I'm at Handmaker. And the people are great. Please come over for lunch. You'll love it. It's even kosher. Just call me at 322-7035.
Handmaker Jewish Services for the Aging offers the full spectrum of quality senior living and post-hospital rehabilitative care. Call 322-7035. Handmaker for life. 322-7035.
We welcome our maven on Jewish education, John Ben Asher, head of the Tucson Hebrew Academy. Boker Tov, John.
Boker Tov, good morning.
Good morning. There are lots of different ways to get an education for your kids today.
Yeah.
There's public schools. There's
especially in Arizona.
Charter schools on every corner, it seems like. And then there are private schools like Tucson Hebrew Academy.
Right.
A Jewish education, for those of us who are deeply imbued in Judaism, seems like, wow, you know, your kid totally has to have a great Jewish education at a day school or at least at a supplementary school.
Yeah.
But there's something else to a Jewish education.
You know, I think there's so much value to knowing who you are and where you come from. And for us as Jews, I really find a calling to the work because, I mean, let's face it, it's not like there are tons of Jews around and the world is saturated with Jews. We are kind of a dying breed and hopefully...
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to
express
that.
We're not exactly
that.
The majority population in most of the world.
You know, you look at the statistics and they're very alarming. So those of us who do this work and who raise our children in this way really understand the value of not only what's at stake, but also transmitting this amazing heritage that we have, if it's faith, if it's culture, if it's community, if it's tradition, it means different things to different people. But there's so much there that's so important for us to be passing forward. And you're right, you can get any kind of education, especially in Arizona. Arizona is rife with options, which has a lot of positives and some negatives. But passing on your inheritance and absorbing the experiences of our ancestors and the things that our parents loved about life is such a critical component of learning who you are and getting established as a human being in the world, which is a complicated, difficult place to be. So there's this sense of being grounded. There's a sense of knowing who you are and also knowing what you're doing here and what our calling is and what's important for us to be doing in the world.
You know, being grounded, there's lots of values education being done in non-religious settings. That wasn't so true when I was a kid, for sure. But without some tradition to base it in, it often seems, you know, kind of platitudes on a wall.
Something's missing, and hopefully that comes in somewhere else. But when you go to a religious school setting, be it after school or day school, you're really immersed in it, and you make a conscious effort to build that in your life. And it doesn't have to be missing.
Not only doesn't it have to be missing, it shouldn't be. Thanks, John.
Amen to that.
We'll talk next week.
All right. Great to see you.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear the old Jewish joke of the week.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor, your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. And this week, a true classic. A rabbi, a priest, and a minister have their houses of worship side by side on the same road. Each congregation gets its clergyman a new car, a Chevy for the minister, a Cadillac for the priest, and a Lincoln for the rabbi. But gas prices being what they are, they decide to share the wealth and carpool. On the first day, the other two are shocked to see the pastor put his hands on the hood of the Chevy and prays silently. "What are you doing?" the priest asks. Pastor looks up. "I'm dedicating this car to the Lord's service." "Good idea. I'll be right back," the priest exclaims. Rushing into his church, he emerges with a scepter on a short stick, shakes water out of it onto the Cadillac. The rabbi stares and says, "What are you doing?" "I'm consecrating it with holy water," the priest replies. "Ah, great idea," the rabbi says. Runs into the synagogue's tool shed, comes out with a hacksaw, and cuts 2 inches off the tailpipe of the Lincoln. You see, he was circumcising the car. That was the old Jewish joke of the week, a special feature of Too Jewish just for you. You should live and be well. And now a word of Torah. This week's portion from Deuteronomy is called Shoftim, Judges. It establishes a process for the administration of justice and includes one of the most powerful statements in all religious, philosophical, or ethical tradition. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof, justice, justice you shall pursue. In the Torah, which has no extraneous words, a repetition of a word means it has additional importance and power. Here, the word for justice, tzedek, is repeated, emphasizing that justice is extraordinarily significant. We must be not only fair in life, but more than that, we must be truly just. Even beyond that, the Torah teaches us not only must we be just, but tirdof, pursue justice, chase it, make it a goal in our own lives and for our civilization. It's not enough to act well in a place where justice is not the norm. We must strive to change an unjust situation into one that is just. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. Each of us must pursue true justice. It's easy to understand that for Jews, justice underlies everything good in society. Without justice, there is no peace. Without justice, there is no morality. Without justice, we simply can't trust our leaders or our government to act well. This year in American society, we have been repeatedly reminded that on racial issues, boy, injustice still remains. We must continue to work seriously to rectify this, to pursue justice. You know, even love is only truly possible where there is respect and a sense of fairness, in essence, aspects of a sense of justice. For love to flourish, we must feel respected by our loved ones, believe there is a balance of justice in the relationship. Be just, God commands. Never accept injustice as a permanent condition of life. Seek, no, chase justice in your own life. Work for justice in society. Then good will come. It's a great and holy message in a society like ours in which the pursuit of happiness sometimes seems to be the only goal, but the better pursuit, the more meaningful, real pursuit for us is justice. May our actions and our words help to make our own society more just in this week because we need it. And in the coming new year of 5778, just a little over a month away. When we return on Too Jewish, our guest, Joe Levin, co-founder of the remarkable Southern Poverty Law Center with Morris Dees, will explain what has caused the current climate of hate and anger, how we can best respond to neo-Nazis, racism, and white supremacists in the wake of Charlottesville. Find that out and much more when we return in a moment right here on Too Jewish.
Is your aging loved one unhappy and having a hard time adjusting to life around them? The TMC Jarrow Psychiatric Center at Handmaker may be able to help. TMC Jarrow Psych specializes in providing short-term inpatient services for older adults experiencing behavioral health issues. Did you know that most people with depression get better when they seek help? With the right treatment, those with anxiety can overcome and learn to cope with their fears, and individuals with dementia can continue leading quality lives. Our team, led by a geriatric psychiatrist, brings expertise from disciplines across a variety of specialties to ensure your loved one receives the right diagnosis and treatment. For more information about our services, please call 324-4600. The TMC Geropsychiatric Center at Handmaker. Call 324-4600. Let's talk about how we can help.
You work hard every day, and that's why the Tucson Jay wants to celebrate you at their Labor Day Bash on September 4th from 11 to 3. Bring the family and save hundreds with their one-day membership sale, and the first 50 people get a free week of membership in the Jay. With more than 110 fitness classes weekly, early childhood education, after-school care, art and culture classes, when you join the Tucson Jay, you're joining more than just a gym. You're joining a community. So don't miss a chance to save hundreds at the Tucson Jay Labor Day Bash September 4th.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
President of the synagogue in Charlottesville, Virginia, described a harrowing scene with armed white supremacists threatening the temple and chanting Nazi slogans during those tumultuous protests that rocked the town a week ago Friday and Saturday. For half an hour, three men dressed in fatigues and armed with semi-automatic rifles stood across the street from the temple, said Alan Zimmerman, the president of Congregation Beth Israel. Had they tried to enter, I don't know what I could have done to stop them, but I couldn't stop looking at them either. Zimmerman was forced to hire an armed guard because the Charlottesville police refused to provide an officer to watch over the temple's Shabbat morning services. Several times, parades of Nazis passed our building shouting, "There's the synagogue," followed by chants of Sieg Heil and other anti-Semitic language, Zimmerman said. Some carried flags with swastikas and other Nazi symbols. This is 2017 in the United States of America, he added. Zimmerman described how he advised congregants to leave the temple through the back door, and they were forced to take the precautionary step of removing their Torahs, including a Holocaust-era scroll, from the building. The fact that a calamity did not befall the Jewish community of Charlottesville last Saturday was not thanks to our politicians, our police, or even our own efforts, but to the grace of God. Zimmerman added, leveling criticism at Charlottesville's mayor, even though he is Jewish, and said he failed to address the synagogue's security concerns. The Charlottesville community, Jewish or not, came together in important ways for the synagogue. A Navy veteran took it upon himself to stand watch over the synagogue during Shabbat services Friday evening and Saturday morning, and at least a dozen complete strangers stopped by the shul to ask if they needed assistance. Zimmerman also described how an elderly woman who said she was Roman Catholic approached him crying and said, "Why do they hate you?" "I had no answer to the question we've been asking ourselves for thousands of years," Zimmerman added. In other Charlottesville-related news, Arnold Schwarzenegger donated $100,000 to the Simon Wiesenthal Center, which combats anti-Semitism and bigotry in the wake of the far-right rally and riot in Virginia. The actor and former California governor announced the donation last week on Facebook, where he wrote he was horrified by the rally bringing together neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other far-right activists. That rally featured racist and anti-Semitic slogans, a car-ramming attack by a participant that killed a counter-protester and injured at least 19. Two police officers monitoring the rally also died when their helicopter crashed. "I've been horrified by the images of Nazis and white supremacists marching in Charlottesville. I was heartbroken that a domestic terrorist took an innocent life," Schwarzenegger wrote. He is originally from Austria. "My message to them is simple. You will not win. Our voices are louder and stronger. There is no white America. There is only the United States of America." Schwarzenegger, a former champion bodybuilder, of course, said he has worked with the Los Angeles-based Wiesenthal Center for decades, admires the center's mission of expanding tolerance through education and fighting hate all over America in the streets and online. Similarly, James Murdoch, the son of Rupert Murdoch, a close advisor of President Trump, and the head of 21st Century Fox, donated $1 million to the Anti-Defamation League in protest of the president's failure to step forward after Charlottesville. And finally, the Rabbinical Council of America
strong Orthodox organization criticized President Donald Trump for blaming left-wing counter-protesters along with white supremacists for the violence that erupted at that rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. There is no moral comparison, the president of the centrist Orthodox group, Rabbi Elazar Mushkin, said. Failure to unequivocally reject hatred and bias is a failing of moral leadership and fans the flames of intolerance and chauvinism. Leaders of the RCA, which is affiliated with the Orthodox Union, noted their group usually stays out of politics, but the RCA's executive vice president, Rabbi Mark Dratch, said the organization was joining Americans of different political leanings and backgrounds and calling on President Trump to understand the critical consequences of his words. Though the Jewish community has been largely critical of Trump, the president has found very high levels of support among modern Orthodox Jews, most of whom are ardently pro-Israel. But not on this. The International Rabbinic Fellowship, a liberal Orthodox group, also condemned comparisons between the two sides. We condemn all false equivalencies between violence by protesters and counter-protesters in Charlottesville, where such equivalencies leave minorities and endangered populations more vulnerable to attack, where they strengthen hate groups like the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists, the group said. In addition, Rabbi Haskell Lookstein, Ivanka Trump's rabbi who did her conversion to Judaism, condemned President Trump last week as well. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews around the world. We are delighted to welcome back to Two Jewish our guest this morning, although we're not delighted for the reasons that we had to invite him. Joe Levin, a co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, maybe the most important single organization and among many that have worked against hate groups, white supremacist groups, neo-Nazis, the Klan, and others, Aryan Nation here in America. One of the really shocking things for those of us who saw so much progress over the years is seeing in a climate in which most public officials have long decried anything having to do with neo-Nazis, Klan, and so on, seeing it sort of surge back. Is there, I hate to ask this question, but I have to, is there some sort of equivalence between white supremacist groups and other protesters, as President Trump made that equivalence last week?
No, that's a totally false equivalence. There, the notion somehow that even if some of the anti-fascist groups show up, the notion that they have anything like the clout or the representation or incite the violence that we've seen incited by white nationalist groups over the past several years, and particularly over the past year and a half, last 6 months or so, is, as President Trump would put it, fake news.
I want to share a personal story. When I was in Billings, Montana, as a student rabbi a long time ago, we had some anti-Semitic activity, and some people had their windows broken and decorations attacked for Hanukkah. And the whole town stood forward and said, no hate in our town. It was an incredible story. Everybody put up Hanukkah menorahs. I mean, there weren't very many Jews in Billings, but all of the Christian churches and lots of organizations put it up. And there was this tremendous outpouring of support. We're not quite seeing that yet. Is that the best way to respond to hate?
I think that almost all responses, unless you're a senator or a congressman or have some or a governor, where there's a statewide or a nationwide responsibility. I think that almost all responses need to be community-based. That's where it all starts. And I get asked this question, I get asked this question a lot when I'm giving talks around the country, and that's what I say. It's community-based. You have to speak out. I listened today to the mother of the young woman who was murdered in Charlottesville, and her whole focus is on that community and the community support and going forward and making sure that her daughter's voice is still heard. So yeah, that's what you expect to see. We've seen anti-Semitic attacks, physical and online. Where you mentioned Montana, Whitefish, Montana. We have a lawsuit in Whitefish, or we have a lawsuit against a guy named Andrew Englund, who has a website called The Daily Stormer, where he incited verbal attacks and threats against a Jewish real estate developer in Whitefish. It's a long story, and I won't bore you with it, but because she angered the mother of Richard Spencer, who's a very famous white nationalist, about a particular piece of property in Whitefish that they owned, and that she was trying to, that she had been contacted. She'd been contacted by the mother to try and sell. And again, she received threats. Her husband received threats. Her young son was threatened. That kind of thing happens. The community has stood in support of her, and that's what has to happen. Communities have got to do that. It is the best, in my opinion, the most effective way to counteract this kind of hate.
There are many hate groups in the spectrum. People are familiar with the Ku Klux Klan. If they know something about the history of America, they may be familiar with Aryan Nation, although that seems to have been damaged significantly, but there seem to be like all kinds of others. Are there particular groups that people should be concerned about now that have been growing? Is it just kind of a general trend?
Yeah, it's really a general trend, even though I mentioned the Daily Stormer. That is now the largest website that attracts white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis. Stormfront is another one that historically has been the biggest. But again, the ability to even count these groups now is much more difficult, because we look for a physical presence. But now we see so much online where there is this kind of contact. A good illustration of that is what happened at Breitbart after Breitbart died. And Steve Bannon took over control of the website, and it became a virtual garden for anti-Semitic and white supremacist discussion. It just skyrocketed while he was there, and it's that kind of thing that reaches these people, like the ones who showed up in Charlottesville with the torches and talking about how we won't let the Jews replace us, which they said over and over again. That's where they come from.
And they chanted that in the Charlottesville March, right?
That is correct. Yes, they did.
And Spencer was there, as you mentioned. It seemed to have collected people, kind of this groups of these people from all over the country. Wasn't a specifically Virginia incident, certainly wasn't specifically a Charlottesville incident.
It was a national effort, and the whole notion of it was to bring all of these people together in one place and have the march and the protest having to do with the Confederacy, Confederate monuments, which I've seen for years. You know, it was one of the leaders of there's a huge movement now to recruit college students on campuses. Leaflets are distributed. These younger people, like the Richard Spencers of the world, do that. There's a guy named Matthew Heimbach who runs something called the Traditionalist Youth Network. The ADL called that a small white supremacist group that attempts white supremacist activity on college campuses. Heimbach described Donald Trump as, and I think this is maybe the best description I've heard yet, he called him the gateway drug to outright white nationalism. And that's what you see. That's what's happening. And given what he had to say, this false equivalency that he spouted out.
Yeah, I talked about there being really fine people on both sides.
He is the gateway drug to these people. That's what Heinbach said is exactly right. He called it right.
I saw where Robert E. Lee's descendant, Robert E. Lee the V, decried the white nationalism, denounced them, where Jefferson Davis's descendant said the Statue of Lee should be moved. It's not like they're getting universal support. Why do they still have traction?
Well, it's not the descendants of these people. My great-grandfather was a major in the Confederate Army. There's a camp that's what they call them. That's named after him in Walker County, Alabama. On my mother's side, on my father's side, my great grandparents immigrated from the Romanovs. Basically, ran them out.
Sure.
In 1882.
Like so many of us.
Different story.
Right.
That's
right.
Correct.
That's right.
But
by the way, in the interest of full disclosure, I had ancestors who were rabbis in the Union Army when they finally let Jews be. The South always let rabbis participate to some degree as chaplains. I had Union. I had Union on my side, and they and three of them died. Actually,
yeah, we could talk about Jewish assimilation in the South forever. But
oh yeah, for sure.
I grew up with that. My point is that the fact that some of these descendants of Robert E. Lee or anybody else has anything to say that's favorable is doesn't impress me much. It says to me that maybe they've learned something over the past 200 years. I don't know.
One of the really fascinating things I think about this whole situation is in a country where doesn't seem like the president is taking a position against white supremacy, do we need the kind of laws that exist, for example, in Germany, which restrict any freedom of Nazis to advocate or people to wear Nazi symbols, things like that?
No, I'm a huge advocate of free speech, and the center is as well. We're not Germany. We don't have that history. If that's what they felt was necessary in order to help prevent a repetition of what they experienced with Hitler, then I understand it. But here, we need free speech. Free speech. These people need to be able to say what they believe, as long as there's no. They're not inciting violence directly. That's a different issue entirely.
I want to thank Joseph Levin for a great visit here on Too Jewish, and I hope we can talk again when things are looking better.
I hope to see that day. I'm of an age where I want to live long enough to see that happen now.
From your mouth to God's ears, as we say in my business. Thank you so much. And people can find out more at the Southern Poverty Law Center website. That's splcenter.org. Right. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Rabbi. I enjoyed it.
When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest, get a final musical play out.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday on Too Jewish when our guests will be Laura Adkins and Aiden Pink, editors at The Forward, who produced their very first Jewish college guide. And listen to all of our podcasts on iTunes or at our TooJewishRadio.com website. Our playout this morning comes from our house rock band, Avanim. An important message for this week, Shalom Rav Li'ohavei Torah Techa. Great peace have those who love your Torah.
My friends, may you have a Shavuot Tov, a good week, a better week, a week, we pray, of peace.
Shalom Rav, Re'ohave, Torah Tech.
Sponsored by two Jewish radio programs, Tucson, Arizona.